Okay. So the title of my talk is Evidence for Heterogeneity from Abyssal Prototypes. And we can use abyssal prototypes to study the Earth's mantle to try and get some idea about Earth composition and mantle convection. But the first thing that you have to worry about with abyssal prototypes is what's happened to them at mid-ocean ridges. So what I'm going to talk today about is evidence that we see for prototype heterogeneity from abyssal prototypes. And I'm going to concentrate on samples that are from slow to ultra-slow spreading ridges. And these samples show evidence for both shallow level melting processes, and these can create a heterogeneous oceanic lithosphere. And then we also see possible evidence for pre-existing source heterogeneity. So the first thing is just to say quickly what abyssal prototypes are. So they're used to classify any samples that are collected in the oceans. They are always spinel prototypes. Generally, they're collected at mid-ocean ridges, often at fracture zones where you don't have much crustal production. And the other good place to look for abyssal prototypes is at slow spreading rates, ultra-slow spreading rates, where, again, there's very little crustal production. They represent residues of mantle melting, and they're also very hydrothermally altered. So this is what a fresh prototype would look like, and this is what abyssal prototypes always look like. So this is a dunite. It should have been olivine, and it's essentially 100% altered to serpentine. And this is a prototype. These are fresh pyroxene grains. This might have some fresh olivine, which is the orange clay stuff now. And in thin section, they look like this. So you get these islands of OPX. There's a bit of olivine here. There's probably spinel somewhere, some of this black stuff. So there are fresh minerals in there that you can use to analyze, but they're not rocks like this where you can do a lot of bulk measurements on. If you look at prototype compositions as a function of spreading rate, you find that at fast spreading rates, there's a small range in composition, and that when you go to lower spreading rates, there's a quite wide range in composition. So in this case, I'm plotting modal percent CPX. As you're melting prototypes, you are depleting the rock in CPX, and so eventually you should go to CPX out, which is what you see at fast spreading rate. And so samples from fast spreading rates have essentially been melted to the CPX out point. But when you go to slower spreading rates, you see quite a range in the composition of the prototype. And this range in the modal CPX can reflect a low degree of melting, melt addition that's occurred, because at a slow spreading rate, conductive cooling is going to affect the mantle at the mid-ocean ridge. And also you can get a variable source composition. So that it's hard from the percent CPX to know what is causing this range in composition. So you have to look at more indications in the samples. So this is another indicator of degree of melting. It's cerium concentration. And again, at fast spreading rates, the composition is really low. This time I'm showing it on a log plot. So these fast spreading samples have really just been depleted in everything because of melting. And then when you look at slower spreading samples, there's quite a range in composition. Again, if you look at the full spectrum of rare earth elements, so this is heavy rare earth elements. They tend to not be very depleted by melting, and these are light rare earth elements. They get very depleted. But again, just looking at a huge database of samples, there's quite a range in composition you get. So if you're looking at your oceanic lithosphere, this is a DMM composition that you're melting from. And what you find is that there's actually quite a range in composition of the prototype. The other effect that you see in the prototypes is that there are a lot of veins. In this case, these are gabbro veins. This is a clinoperoxenite veins. And this indicates that you've got shallow level melting processes that are interacting with the mantle. And obviously, a question from this morning is whether any of this stuff, I mean, you're not going to see this seismically, but whether the bulk composition of the mantle is really affected by the change in composition because of these melts that get trapped into the mantle. So now I'm going to show some evidence that we think that we see for pre-existing heterogeneity in the source mantle composition. So I'm going to focus on an area from the Southwest Indian Ridge, which goes from the Rodriguez Triple Junction to the Bouvet Hotspot. And this area is called the oblique and orthogonal segments. And I'm going to show you just the oblique segment. And it's called the oblique segment because its spreading direction is at quite an oblique angle to the direction of plate motion. And that results in a very low effective spreading rate. So that means that you have a very low degree of melting, and you have a lot of conductive cooling. And so what you see from this, this is the bathymetry map, and then all the red spots are where basalt was dredged, and the green is where prototypes were dredged, and then gray is empty. So you see that there are patches where you're basically not producing a basaltic crust, and you're exposing prototypes straight on the on the seafloor. So in areas like here and here. And then these are basaltic ridges. So this is a good place to look for prototypes that have not been very depleted by melting, that might be showing you something about more your GMM composition. But also you have to worry about melts that are getting trapped in the lithosphere because of cooling. So looking again at cerium concentration as an indication of depletion, and now as a function of longitude, so this is from 9 to 16 degrees east on the ridge. There's one suite of prototypes from here that have peroxenite veins, and there's another suite here that has gabbro veins. And so these gabbro veins we know are shallow level melt additions to the prototypes. But these veins here, it's less clear if this is a deep melt that was added in and crystallized the clinoperoxenite, or if what we're looking at is a rock that's not been melted very much. So you can see again that this is what DMM should be like, and these samples show variable amounts of depletion with respect to DMM. And so what I'm going to show you is isotopic work that we've done on these samples and also on these samples to see what evidence we find for heterogeneity. So just briefly, the isotopic work was done on mineral separates. So we did clinopyroxene and orthopyroxene. We ran neodymium columns and strontium columns, and we measured them by thermal ionization mass spectrometry. And these are the results. So this is showing a lot of data on one plot. So this is 87, 86 strontium. Enrichment in strontium goes this way towards higher values. And this is 143, 144 neodymium. And in this case, enrichment is towards lower values. And all the small points in the background are basalts. So the gray and the blacks are mid-ocean ridge basalts. And then all these little bright ones are different ocean island basalts. So here's Samoa, here's Hawaii, Iceland's behind here. And all the larger symbols that I put on top is all the data set for abyssal prototypes. So the triangles is a data set from the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And the purple ones are a set that was done in a similar area to where I'm showing samples from. And then all these spots are what we measured in our samples. And so the first thing to note on this is that what I'm showing you, the dark green and the light green, are samples from two separate dredge holes. So this green, all these green spots here, is the range of composition that we see within one dredge hole. And that's in comparison to the purple spots, which represent probably 1,000 kilometers of ridge axis. And then all this basalt data field in the background. So you can see that just within one dredge hole, which probably represents about 1 kilometer of mid-ocean ridge sampling, that we see a huge range in the heterogeneity of the mantle source. So I'm going to show you the same plot in the next slide, but I'm just going to zoom in on this kind of area and get rid of all the basalt data in the background. So just to look again at these two dredges, there's this one dredge here, and then there's this other dredge that's now shown in the orange spots. And to compare these ones, I've shown the oblique segment basalts. So these orange spots are all from a dredge that was collected here on the ridge axis. And then the basalt data is from this entire length of the ridge axis. And then this other green star shows the dredge where these samples are coming from. So what you see is that these samples are very depleted. So that's this location here. And then this location here, we have this huge range in composition. And then as comparison, the basalts, which come from this whole ridge segment, stretch out in this direction. And then there's also a handful of other prototypes that have been measured along this segment, and they cover this field. So within one dredge, which again is about 1 kilometer, maybe 2 kilometers of mantle that's being sampled, we get this range in composition. And another thing to note is that DMM is what's estimated as the composition of the mantle, and our samples are more depleted than DMM is. So that indicates that DMM is measured from basalts, can't actually tell you the extreme depletion that the mantle might have. And then one other thing to notice, I put Bouvet basalt on here, and that's because the Bouvet hotspot, which is now located somewhere here on the southwest Indian Ridge, was in this area about 20 million years ago. And so the idea is that one explanation for this heterogeneity is that Bouvet hotspot came up and interacted with the mantle in this area. And so what we're seeing in all of these samples is the influence of the Bouvet hotspot on the mantle. And the basalts fit in a nice array going from Bouvet hotspot to DMM. And then this is just a very small amount of lead data we tried on some samples. So these 3 points are the lead data. This is from a very different area of the Southwest Indian Ridge. And then these are the 2 samples from that same area that I was showing before. And in comparison, the blue, these light blue spots are that same ridge segment, the basalt from that area. And then in the background is the basalt data set. So the one thing you can notice is that the 2 prototype samples are offset from the basalt, suggesting, again, some type of heterogeneity in the source. So to conclude with all of this, there's 2 types of heterogeneity we see. One, which is recent melt addition to the mantle, and that has implications for what the composition of the oceanic lithosphere is and what's going to end up being subducted back down at subduction zones. And then the other thing is that the isotopic data indicates that we have some heterogeneity in the source, and this extends down to quite a small scale variation. Thanks. So this gap here, so this gap may or may not be real. The only, because this sample is kind of, so the data plotted here is the data that I've collected from the Southwest Indian Ridge, and then Kevin Johnson's data, which is from the Southwest Indian Ridge, plus a couple other locations. And so this might be an effect of that we're seeing mainly depleted samples and just samples that have been enriched, and it's very rare to see ones that are in between, kind of with low degrees of enrichment. Yeah, so the samples that do plot in here, most of them are ones that on the hand sample scale, we see the variation in composition. So we can actually follow that within one sample. But otherwise, the samples just plot here or they just plot here. Yeah. So actually, the veins, so we did clinopyroxenes from some veins and from some matrix, and those tended to be similar in composition, but between 2 samples in the same dredge, they would get different compositions. But the veins tended to be very similar to the matrix composition. And one idea with those veins, so I showed, so like this is the type of vein that we analyzed. So obviously these are really small features and probably won't last for a very long time in the mantle. So one best idea for the origin of these is that it's related to Bouvet hotspot being in this area, or that we're just seeing more recent melts that are percolating through the mantle as it's upwelling, but that somehow we have to have 2 different compositional sources that are creating the range and isotopic composition that we see. Yeah. So I haven't corrected them for melt extraction, but if you plot something like 1/neodymium versus the neodymium, either for reconstructed bulk rock or for just the mineral separate, there's no correlation. One question we have is whether these, before they started melting, had variable pyroxene content, which, especially with samples, so the other dredge that we looked at where they're very depleted in composition, they have variable modal CPX composition, which makes us wonder if they had variable CPX contents before melting began. Yeah. No, because we're looking at the clinopyroxene content in the prototypes. And So at fast spreading rate, you pretty much get rid of all the purity. So you could, if you looked at a prototype from an ophiolite and there's essentially no CPX in it, then that's a good indication that you're in a fast spreading environment. Yeah, but I'd be careful because there's at slow spreading rates you get all range. Right, so you'd first want to make sure that you're not seeing. Yeah, because you want to make sure that you're not seeing some melt addition effect or variable degrees of melting. Yeah. Yeah, so definitely that's what some of this is due to, but it's difficult to know if you don't have a vein how much CPX is being put back into the rock, if small interstitial grains. Mainly because the prototypes are so altered that it's hard to get any textual information out of them. But definitely some of this variation is due to melt addition. And it would be good to have a way to quantify that better. Okay.